Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith. And today we are joined by DIY theater and performance editor of Scoppy Magazine, Danielle Levski.
Hi, everybody.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing better now that I'm with you all.
Aw.
That's so good. That's so kind.
We tinkered with the idea of doing this whole episode in ASMR. So for...
ASMR. Oh, this microphone doesn't work for the ASMR.
Does mine work?
Because yours works great.
Real good.
Yours sounds pretty solid. Yeah.
Cool. Should I do the tapping? No, I'm done.
No, I think we're good. We did the
yours
ASMR.
Yours is definitely the ASMR microphone.
Cool. Yeah.
Nice.
I had to switch my microphone out, so if I sound like I'm speaking to you from a $30 eBay special, it's because I definitely am.
But you know what? That's our brand, is the $30 eBay special.
That's right. Make for it real. Work. Our brand is Make It Work, Tim Gunn style.
Yeah. Yeah.
ScoppyMag.com/subscribe. You can support independent media.
Yes.
Make correct. Our dreams come true.
Do it.
Our dreams of being able to afford to pay the people that work for us.
Also make your dreams come true, because we make some really awesome shit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You're welcome.
So this is our Theater Thursdays segment. Thursdays. It is definitely Monday. But you know what? Who cares?
It's Thursday in our hearts.
It is always Thursday in our hearts.
I think that exactly. should be the actual thing, is that it never comes out on a Thursday, but it's called Theater Thursdays.
That sounds like my whole Wacky Wednesday thing. It came out on Thursdays, but it was called Wacky Wednesdays.
Yeah.
I miss those.
Wacky Wednesday.
I will
was
bring
great.
That back soon.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
life is not.
ScoppyMag.com/subscribe and we'll bring back Wacky Wednesdays.
True. That's true.
Gosh. We don't have loads of things to talk about, but you know, let's just get into it. Danielle, what's been cooking in theater recently?
Well, we just entered November. Well, not just, I guess it's almost been 2 weeks. But I cannot get October out of my mind, because A, I love Halloween. A, I love all things spoopy. A, I love all things witchy. And I've got to say, Chicago did a really good job this year putting on really awesome, occult, witch-like, spooky, interesting, alternative theater and performances in October. They definitely satisfied and met all my witchy needs.
I gotta say, I feel like we're 2018. We are here for a theme, you know?
Yeah.
Like, give me Halloween. And then I feel like everybody is ready for Christmas.
Yeah.
Just like holiday season time. It is time.
Yeah, like there's all the neighborhoods, like all the main drags in Chicago have their snowflake lights up already.
Oh, yeah.
Like four-sided down the street is like full Christmas.
Yeah.
I always feel a little bit guilty leaning into Christmas early. Like, we were up in Milwaukee hanging out with my mom, and we were listening to Christmas music in the car. And my mom was like, "Why are you listening to Christmas music?" And my knee-jerk reaction was to defend it by being like, "Oh, a lot of it is Advent." And she was like, "No, it's not. Like,
this
what are
song
you
song is literally called, what's the the Sufjan original? It's Christmas time."
Yeah.
It's Christmas Day, December 25th.
Yeah. As the song is called Advent is Over, Now It's Christmas.
Yeah, no. This is definitely not Advent.
It's funny, because on the Jewish side of things, I think it was the day, November 1st, I must have gotten 5 different Facebook invitations to different latke events.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm like, October's not over yet, okay? Give me a second to breathe and grieve. And God, I just love the season of the witch.
Well, what kind of witchy goings on went on?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So a couple of different events in theater and performance that our writers covered in particular, I'd like to go over them because they were really awesome. Uploose Auditorium Spooky Ookie Bash, which we had an awesome expression to. We also had an expression written to the seance at the Prop Theater. And
good old the Prop.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can that... we just give a quick shout out to Pisces, Lord of our artistic world. Olivia Lilly at the prop theater.
High priestess of being high a priestess Pisces.
Of the prop. High priestess of the prop. That sounds nice.
Ooh. Shows up to Chicago, manifests like coming on Scoppy's radio 5 times and us meeting Danielle and everything that she's
I feel done. Like I feel like a lot of the cool connections we've made have been through Olivia Lilly.
That's awesome.
I'd give her 25%. That feels fair and accurate.
Of credit for how cool we are?
Of connections. We met a lot of people. Oh, okay. That was a fun when we first met Olivia. Anyway, you're doing well.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi, Olivia. I don't think this show in particular was made by her, but still, high priestess of the prop, hell yeah.
I definitely was not talking about this. I just bringing up the prop at all. Now I just
right. True. Also, a wonderful interview with Sarah Zelick, who I feel like every time she steps on stage, something spoopy and magical and otherworldly happens. So
Sarah Zelick, our contact with Sarah Zelick was our introduction to the expression genre.
True,
because she messaged us about the that residency at Lynx Hall.
And I do Poems While You Wait with her. So I actually knew her before that. Oh. But she didn't know that I was a theater editor at Scoppy. So that was a
she cute just did
moment.
A contact form. Yeah. And I emailed you. I remember I forwarded you that email being like, I know we don't do reviews, but this looks cool.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to go, I guess.
Do you love the kind of mysterious nature of Scoppy? Like the fact that no one really knows what Scoppy is?
Yeah. Until they see it and they're wildly impressed.
Yeah. One of my coworkers at Revival like came up. I told them that I run Scoppy. They're like, oh, what's Scoppy? And I was like, oh, you know, it's this thing. And they came back the next day and they were like, me and my partner like looked on your site for like a solid hour last night. And I subscribe to the email blasts and I am on board. And occasionally they'll like come up to me at work being like, I read this article and I really thought it was very interesting.
Oh, cool.
I really like it a lot.
I love when those little moments happen because, you know, I have a lot of thoughts that are related to self-doubt and like not good enough and imposter syndrome, et cetera, et cetera. Ugh. Relatable content, hashtag. But then there's those moments that come along when somebody says, oh my gosh, I just love what you've been doing with X, Y, and Z lately, or that article was so great, or somebody's like, I didn't know about this and I am your biggest fan now, and I'm like, yes,
it's wild.
So glad.
Well, and I'm always surprised by how many lurkers there are, you know. Like, especially once you start seeing the numbers of people that are participating aggressively and then people that are actually viewing it and then not participating. That's wild to me.
Yeah.
Are you
on the wrong side?
I think you are. I cannot hear you.
Hello?
Oh.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You do.
That's aggressively. Well, I switched mics back.
I was going to be like, let's just keep going. Part of let's see how the sausage is made.
Sausage
theater
made.
Well, we cut that part out. So before there was a seamless transition. Let's play a game. There was a seamless transition in the last 8 minutes. The first goodness. 8 minutes of the podcast, we stopped because the heater came on and we stopped for 20 minutes. I had a...
Not 20. It was moment. Like 10.
We tested out other microphones. We switched microphones around.
We listened to a song.
Yeah. If you can guess where that moment was, then Danielle will send you a GIF of a virtual high five.
I think
that's a really nice gift.
I'll like put on a cute outfit. I will do my makeup. It'll be great. Just...
Oh, like you'll make a gift.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'll be like,
can we? Oh, we should have like, we should make gifts.
Scoppy reacts.
Scoppy reacts.
I'm the longest. So this is a major. So I'm
Scott Mojis.
People that are, have listened to the show for a while know that I get on a platform and like research the platform intensely for a while. And so the last month has been Twitch, this little live streaming service.
Oh, yeah.
They have very much integrated the whole custom like to the creator reacts, so that if you are a creator and you have a Twitch channel, you have like a series of emojis that you have someone, a moderator or something, design.
Did do Jenna and Julian
a lot,
do they have like hell yeah
yes and they have Jenna's face minus the eyebrows.
Oh yeah.
With
oh.
hell yeah written on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
They like, have dot 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 be like.
Yeah.
they have both the dogs. If you so, Morgan and I enjoy watching Jenna and Julian. The do you know Jenna Marbles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
she's,
I do.
She's still making content.
Yes, she is.
She's and, kind of like I YouTube's see it once grandma. In a while.
Huh?
I said YouTube's she's kind grandma? Of like YouTube's grandma.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
In that it's she's 32.
It's and her and Shane Dawson.
Yeah.
Right.
Grandpa and grandma.
What about Tyler Oakley? I used to love him.
You know, I never really got into Tyler Oakley, although yeah. I kind of want to check out his content because I know he's an Aries.
Really? His Tumblr content is also on point. Just really? Gotta say.
What kind of stuff does Tyler Oakley do?
It's like funny... It's humor with a LGBT lean towards it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can I put a pin in this real quick? Because I want to hit sure. two other things real quick. Well, I mean,
I should also finish talking about the shows from last month, probably, right?
Yeah.
Well, I also wanted to plug, thank you for, if you've been listening to the most recent episodes of the podcast, thank you to you for introducing us to Think Unique Jewelry.
Hey.
Lauren's fantastic. We had such
a fun
time talking to her about her rad work.
Yeah. And then Nick from Bazaar of the Occult.
Yes.
That was a fascinating conversation. Yeah. Those two conversations, we've gotten a lot of like positive, like we can always tell when a conversation resonates with people when people like get in touch with us.
Oh.
Like Feminist Speakeasy, we got a lot of comment back.
Cool.
Like a lot of people being like, "Oh my god, like Feminist Speakeasy, that sounds so cool." And then Bazaar of the Occult, we got a lot of people being like, this sounds so, they're like, oh my god, I want to go to their Christmas market.
Yeah
Their Christmas market is the day before Daniel's birthday.
It is.
Ooh, that's awesome.
It is.
That's
so anyway
cool.
I just wanted to shout out if you didn't know at you. home, Danielle occasionally Instagram DMs us with, you need to talk to this person.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
I just slide into their DMs and go, like, there's this great... I'm like the Yenta of a connecting Scoppy podcast.
So this is a really... here's the thing I love about collaborating with Danielle is that she has made every channel for a specific purpose. Like, Slack is work. Yeah. Slack is very serious. But then Instagram DMs... I know I'm getting either like
you should an check astrology out this meme.
Yeah, right. Something occult. Yeah.
Something occult or like a positivity meme.
Have I sent you cats yet? Because I do send quite a bit of cats on the Instagram. Mm.
Maybe.
Oh man, I have to be more on brand. All right, yeah. I'll work on it. I promise.
I mean, we have.
I know where your boss is, but like, send us more cats.
We'll do it.
bit.ly/windowcat, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, October.
All right. Okay, so really great shows last month. Wow. Okay, what did I just say? Oh, we talked about Sarah Zelick. We talked about the seance at the prop, High Priestess at the prop, Go Olivia Lilly, correct. Les Innocents, which Emily Modaf, Alec Fun, and some other wonderful folks were in. That was a beautiful, beautiful, immersive trans queer thriller. That was really cool. There was the Rough House Theater founders putting on a puppet show called
Love how much Rough House likes us.
Yeah, they're so good though. The Walls of Harrow House. So sorry. Nice. I'm like, what's the name? I've totally blanked on the name for a second.
I mean, you're covering a lot, so I think that blanking on the part of a name of one of the shows that you've covered in October is excusable.
There was also, this closed before Halloween, which I thought was silly because it would have been a perfect show through October, and it was just a lovely show in general. It was a show called Odessa, and it was set in the catacombs of Ukraine.
That's
right. And it was very spooky but very like psychologically thrilling. Well, and very cool.
And I'm always fascinated when, because the spooky trend is like a cultural trend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always fascinated when a cultural trend is able to bridge into the political. And that's obviously a big part of what Scoppy's about.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to see.
Specifically spooky politics.
It's fascinating to see the trend of riding that bridge of cultural and political being a trend through other trends, you know?
Yeah. I hesitate to classify like occult things as spooky. I think that we had that conversation with Bizarre Via Cult.
Yeah. And more just meant specifically cultural trends in general. And,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, not that anyone's opinion isn't valid or anything, but the term spooky itself is defined as what? Something surprising, something shocking, something that's out of the norm mm-hmm. or the ordinary or isn't present in everyday life.
Right? I think that it leans as far as just connotation. Mm-hmm. I think like as far as its definition, it probably has that bent. But I think as far as like cultural connotation, it has more to do with like surprising and shocking. Whereas mm-hmm. like tarot card reading isn't surprising and shocking. It's a cultural.
It's mm-hmm. actually, I think it's a derogatory term.
Spooky?
Spooky?
Is it?
Oh, I think we've had this conversation before, and I think I disagree with you. Can you pull up the origins of the word spooky? Is there like an Urban Dictionary?
When referring to a black person, the term spook dates back to the 1940s.
Oh, gosh.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've never...
that sucks. Oh, no, okay. I agree with you, Daniel.
Removing it from my vocabulary as of now, then. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I just... horrible.
Well, it's from Middle Dutch, apparently.
You know what? We're not going to let racists clog up our conversation. So... no more use of that word. Just fun, witchy, occulty stuff happening in the past month, and I'm all here for it.
Yeah.
And speaking of what you were saying, Daniel, I also agree that, well, not only is it cool when the occult or the magical or the mystical crosses over to modern politics and current day happenings, but I think that just happens naturally.
Yeah.
Because just historically speaking, historically speaking
so casual
historically speaking occultists, paganists, and practitioners of religions and culture practices outside of the majority have always been related to politics and have always been inherently politicized. So I think there is this just a given and an ingrained politicism to the occult, which I think is super cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of got distracted by this Middle Dutch writing. In spook, zoals dat vak in kinderboek getekend wordt.
What is that? Do I want to know what that means?
Did you
get
anything from your German knowing?
Can you do it again?
In spook. Okay. By the way, it's original... etymology is Middle Dutch from...
You said that.
But there's a specific... it's a specific word that means witchcraft, which is spoika.
Oh, okay.
From
oh.
centuries ago.
Okay. So, in witchcraft...
In spook zoals dat vak in kinderboek getekend wort. And this might be not Dutch pronunciation. I'm reading it as if it were German.
So something about like something about childhood language or childhood words.
It's underneath the picture of a little ghost, and it's not like it doesn't seem accurate, but it just says a ghost such as is often drawn in a children's book.
A what?
A ghost.
Say that whole thing again.
A ghost such as is often drawn in a children's book.
So spook relates to ghost?
Yes.
Oh, and yes. You said it might be related to something with magic practicing?
So
spoika, I guess,
spoika is Middle Dutch for wizardry or witchcraft.
But then I guess it's spook in Dutch is ghost. Ghost.
But it also relates to like a derogatory term for a black person.
I think that it was, I think
used
that,
as that in
adopted
the
into English, it was used.
Oh, that's a shame because the origins are, but hey, the origins of a lot of symbols and terms get convoluted into something
the Celtic
ugly,
cross
so.
Is a Nazi symbol, you know.
And so is the Nazi symbol itself. It used to be a symbol of peace and
right.
Buddhism. Yep. Fun
anyway,
times.
Anyway.
And anywho. As I was saying, occultism and politicism are inherently intertwined.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So.
Well, I mean, that was the whole, that was like the crux of the Salem witch trials.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, supposed occult activity being dragged into the politics of a town.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like women's issues, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
Women's rights.
And I've been reading about this lately. I guess it's kind of related. No, it's related. Mm. I was Lilith as one of my Halloween costumes this year, because I just think she's an awesome feminist figure. But I was reading more about her in terms of her portrayal in Judaism and Christianity in general. And she's portrayed as this demon, right? The story behind it is that she becomes a demon because she didn't want to lie under Adam. And Adam was like, yo, but this is like how we're going to procreate. And she's like, I'm going to be on top. And he's like, no, you're not. And she's like, okay, fuck you. Bye. And she took off into the night.
And really?
And it became like recast as a demon, which is really interesting. And now, years later, she's become a symbol for feminism because she didn't want to be subservient to Adam and wanted to be his equal. And I think there's even a line in the story about her in the Talmud where she says, I am not beneath you, I am your equal.
Mm-hmm.
Referring to both sex and also in life.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, she's super fascinating. But...
And that's in the Talmud?
Mm-hmm.
Remind me what the Talmud...
It's the oral history of the Torah. Or the oral history of the Jewish people. The Torah is the rules and guidelines, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The Talmud is the oral history that's been passed down. And
cool.
Such. Yeah, it's very interesting. But I really like her as an occult figure as well. Because...
Is there much Lilith... Oh, there are like Lilith fairs and stuff like that.
That's what that's based
like women on. Like women... Mm-hmm. And Lilith fairs are like... Women made art, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit, I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
There's Lilith magazine, you know. There's all these different sources that use Lilith as an empowering woman figure.
Scoppy Lilith Mag collab. Let's go.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so cool. Oh, we gotta make it happen.
Reach out.
I'm gonna reach out.
Hell yeah.
No, reach out to us.
Oh, okay, guys.
They're definitely listening.
Oh, definitely.
Lilith please. Mag, we know you're fangirling us right now. Get at us.
Scoppymag@gmail.com.
So ridiculous. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything fun and exciting that folks can look forward to going forward?
Yes. We have a really interesting piece coming out about a Brazilian activist in Chicago that's hosting these different performance art pieces against the current Brazilian government and particularly the person in power.
Yeah, because a far right person was just elected.
The movement's called El Now. I might be pronouncing that wrong. LNA with a. I'm not pronouncing it correctly.
I'm not sure.
El Now. Portuguese now, is weird. Now? Something like that. That's, I'm very excited for it.
Yeah. That sounds really cool.
We're also going to have a piece on Free Street Theater and they're. Basically, their erasure from many of the communities.
Can we
in the
talk
Chicago
about that real quick? Actually,
community. Yeah, yeah. So this is kind. This article kind of in a follow up to the article I posted a few weeks ago in response to the Chicago Tribune and Chris Jones in particular announcing that Southside was getting its first new storefront theater when there have been plenty of theaters, Free Street Theater included, and mm-hmm. Free Street Theater probably being one of the first. In the South Side, serving the South Side through community storefront theater. Ugh. So that was really frustrating. And I think a lot of folks that were part of Free Street and also were just really supported Free Street reposted this article and were responding to it very adamantly, as they should have been. And then we wrote up a really quick piece showing everybody the reactions.
And it was really well read. And so, honestly, you probably read it if you're listening to this. And the thing that's interesting about those kinds of pieces is they frame the kind that kind of work, like this follow-up work that you're doing, really well.
Yeah.
When you publish something, because I do this a lot when I know something is like percolating and people are looking for, because I frequently go to Google and go the three keywords of what's, so in that case it would have been Free Street Theater First Chicago,
right.
Or something,
right.
And so it's to get an actual source that tells you this is what this person said, because that piece was specifically, a lot of times people will go like
admins or something will go to Facebook or to Twitter or to Instagram or whatever, mm-hmm. and they'll basically write a press release.
Yeah.
But because of we're in the digital age, that a lot of other publications don't then report on that. And so right. that's what I loved about that piece.
That's
and
a
I
mistake.
Love about
it. It is absolutely a mistake.
It's missing the it's not good journalism to
it's
not
do it's that. Ignoring the it's ignoring the PR strategies of an entire generation, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like we'll occasionally get press releases.
Yeah.
But like most of the folks doing work today post their goings on social media.
Yep. Absolutely. If you haven't already, so I followed Ricardo Gamboa of the Hoodwazie to just kind of keep up because actually met them. Post a lot about yes. political goings on in Chicago. Well, especially with hosting the Hoodwazie, but yeah. a lot of
They're just super involved.
They're just
in so many communities.
They write very well on the
they
platform.
Do.
So and you know to see that and to then be able to take those things and make them like to signal boost them in any kind of way with our audience or with the right. the tools that Scopy has, which is digital publishing, is really cool. And it's also great because then you know I remember with the Lyrics Opera Strikes where yeah. I covered it similarly, where I did two objective pieces just kind of reporting on press releases and stuff. And then the third one was an editorial. And it was great because to go at it from that end,
mm-hmm.
as an editor, being able to have seen the two objective pieces get published mm-hmm. and have that intimate relationship with it as a journalist.
Right.
Of going, I know exactly what's going on here and I know what's at play. So that when you follow up with it, with whatever you know, second degree of coverage you want to provide to it, it, yeah. it is only more nuanced by the work that you've already, because it's fat, like, you know, I think that a lot of public people think that, especially from the subject's end, mm-hmm. from in journalism, that it's one and done, you know,
well,
you cover something once and then.
And I also think that there's, with the rise of the think piece as law,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think that it's really important that if you want to be a credible news source, that you have to make a really solid distinction between this is an objective piece
yes.
and this is a subjective piece.
Right.
Yes.
I think that with the whole blurred lines of the think piece, it's really hard. I think that there's occasionally merit to the think piece, but I think that when you're trying to cover a really nuanced issue, it's important, like, I think it's good journalism to publish more than one article about it and
yeah.
cover both objectivity and subjectivity.
Agreed. I completely agree with you, yeah. And the blurred lines are very difficult, especially when it's talking about an issue that's occurring within the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
An issue that needs a response now.
Right.
Then you should craft two different responses. One response without any subjectivity and one response with your opinions, with subjectivity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, and just like cranking something out in 30 minutes with just the facts.
Yeah.
So that people can actually know what's going on and then address nuances as you learn them.
Yeah, and not right away. I think that's also...
Yes.
Well, it's a product of the 24-hour news cycle, but it's also a product of like how people respond to things on social media rather than giving things thought, fact-checking, letting things simmer, letting things like, I don't know, cook inside them, they just respond.
Well, and there's a huge difference between social media and journalism. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Social media is not,
it's not
journalism.
It's not. Yeah. And that's not to say that they're, you know, there's only one way
that
to be a journalist. I am the picture of there is not one way to be a journalist. But I do appreciate the distinction between a journalistic platform and Facebook, which is like just a giant big community board.
Yeah.
Right. And there are journalists that are telling interesting stories on social media.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
but that's
yeah.
that's what that is. Not
it's a story.
Right.
It's a story. It's typically an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know what? I would say like 99% of the time it's an opinion. Even if there is some objectivity or truth to it, it's still on their personal community page. mm-hmm. and therefore it can't really be fully objective.
You know who I think does interesting work with the idea of trying to bridge the gap between social media type posting and journalism? And like, not that they need like a shout out or anything, but I think BuzzFeed does that in a really interesting way because they have their staff writers that they on BuzzFeed.com, they publish articles and stuff like that.
Right.
But then they also have a community page mm-hmm. where people can submit articles that do not work at BuzzFeed. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting way of like, you know, you have your staff writers and, you know, a company has a certain budget and can only have so many writers on that team.
Right.
But it allows to have, you know, have what we're talking about, have more than one immediate response with facts and then more than one nuanced response. And it,
I want to,
it does bridge that social media, like, you know, multiple points of access with actual journalistic practices, which I find fascinating.
I want to get into the specifics of the Free Street thing though too, because I know that we've talked a good deal about. No, it's totally fine. I just want to specifically go on record personally and say that it is a shame that Chicago only has one like full-time theater critic, and that's fucking Chris Jones.
Yeah.
And I also want to say, I just, this is a thing that I'm trying to like say more to people that I know.
Yeah.
The Chicago Tribune is a conservative paper. There are people that do great work at the Tribune.
Yeah.
But if you support, like if you aggressively support the Tribune over other outlets, you're supporting a conservative paper. And I think that that's a very important distinction. And I think that when we talk about, you know, because I've been to many, especially during the Hedy Weiss stuff,
mm-hmm.
I've been in many conversations about what does theater journalism needs to look like in 2018.
Right.
Fantastic conversations, and the nuance there is really important. And I'm not, you know, discrediting this by what I'm about to say, but I think that at a certain point, though, there's a problem at the foundation, which is that if we are prioritizing, you know, owning class journalism, meaning like journalism that's owned by Trunk Publishing, by Tribune Publishing, the publishing company that owns, you know, a majority of the newspapers printed in Chicago, that owns the Tribune and the Sun-Times are owned by the same people.
Yes, like, they are. I was there for the merger for it.
And it's, you know, to think that, you know, and it's all owned by people that are looking to make a giant profit off of journalism. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
not only that, but the Tribune Publishing also owns several other major publications in the United States.
Red. Oh, yeah.
Miami.
Red Dot. Is that the one that's the
Red Eye?
Red Eye. Right.
Red Eye. Do they own the Miami Herald? Do they own that?
I'm pretty sure.
And Los Angeles Times?
I know the Chicago publications, but I don't. The other ones, I'm not entirely.
Hartford, Connecticut, I believe.
Yeah, just Google. Yeah,
sure.
Google Trunk Publishing. It's all the
I think same. It's back to Tribune Publishing now, actually.
They just changed it, right? Like a month ago?
Yeah.
Anyway.
We've got to wrap it up, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Well, should people expect to sink their teeth into?
So, in addition to another piece about Free Street, there will also be an expression in response to the prop theater high priestess, Olivia Lilly's Neverland.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Yeah,
that's getting rave reviews. People love it.
I'm excited to see it myself this coming Friday.
I love that all the reviews have been like, now I know what you're thinking. It's a Peter Pan musical.
Not a musical.
Oh, sorry.
Is it a
play?
Play.
Yeah. It's a Peter Pan outing.
It's another Peter Pan production.
Yeah.
But this is the right one. And that's
good.
I've seen that.
I'm so excited to see
three different publications, I think, or something.
Wow. Yeah. That's wild.
We've got our second installment of the Experimental History series of theater in Chicago by Felix coming up very soon as well.
Felix.
We just saw Felix yesterday, and we mentioned the last time we talked about Felix on the podcast, which also happened 40 minutes into the podcast.
And we told him, we were like, yeah, Felix, we mentioned you on this podcast. And then only after telling him that did we realize that it was like 45 minutes into to the podcast.
And it was a podcast with, maybe it was with you.
I think it was the last Theater Thursday one. I talked about the history series.
This was months ago.
This was months ago?
Maybe it was with us with, was it us with... What about Chicago?
No. Yes.
Because I think, because you were on with us with What About Chicago.
Yeah, I was.
And I think that we may have mentioned Felix in that one.
Yeah,
because he mentioned listening to Raheem talk.
Yeah. Yes. You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Felix is great and hysterical. Brilliant.
We have a profile of Frank O'Kay, who is a really, really cool graphic designer / artist that has designed a lot of the DIY posters in Chicago over the past, like, I don't know, 5 years.
Yeah.
So a cool profile of him coming up. I'm super excited for that. We've got an expression to Fight Night, which was a play that was put on by Collaboration, I believe, at the Shakespeare, which is at Chicago Shakes, which is really random. And yeah. Like, cool. What else? A couple more and then I'll put a bow in it.
Is Oscar in the closet?
No, Oscar's in her room.
An op-ed coming up about the difference between New York City theater artists and Chicago theater artists.
I can't wait for that. Didn't I pitch that one to you?
Actually, no, I think it was High Priestess Olivia Lilly.
Hell yeah.
Like 6 or 7.
Was my thing the New York Times thing?
I know you told me.
Not that I'm like intensely tarot. Showing how this. Yes, that's a great one. But there's also something that happened with.
Oh, yeah. It was the New York Times coming to Chicago and
being like.
So I haven't written that piece yet because it was a stressful time, but I also I couldn't formulate my thoughts in a way that I thought was unique or interesting because I was just having one of those weeks.
But so anyway, the New York Times came in and said that they said like, what do you remember what the theater company was?
The Den.
The Den, yeah. Mm. Well, we got to wrap up.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else quick you want to? Well,
there's
let's
a
do
lot
this.
Of cool stuff coming up.
1 minute left. Well, last thing we thought of our guests is 1 minute plug for anything that's upcoming. Sometimes it's obvious, like letting people know about upcoming articles and where they can find more of your writing and more about you as a person. Ran out of breath.
Did you breathe? Are you breathing? Please breathe. I guess my only announcement is exactly what you just said. If you want to check out some of our upcoming work, head to scopymag.com, go to Underground and click DIY Theater, Expressions or Impressions, and you will see a bunch of really cool work that's being done by my theater and performance art writers.
Hell yeah. And also make sure to check out Danielle's Tikkun Fellowship series.
Oh, hey.
If you are interested in learning more about the Jewish Russian identity.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic series. We've been following it. Check that out. Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with what we're up to, scopymag.com. Daniel already said it. Otherwise, you can find us on social media.
We should just copy paste an old one.
Is that okay? Facebook. Page, Scopy Magazine. We also have a Facebook group that we love and adore called Sounding Board. I'm trying to get Sounding Board interested in some new topics like tiny houses. I think tiny houses will work better than tennis. Anyway, but we also talk a lot about astrology. It's really fun. You can also find the podcast, the one that you're listening to right now, Scopy Radio, under most podcast places, including Google Play, iTunes Podcasts, and Radio Public.
And I'm here, as always, to talk about the importance of subscribing. If you head to our website, scopymag.com, and go to our subscribe page, there are a couple ways that you can do that. The first is to sign up for email blasts. This is huge because even though we post across social media platforms, Facebook buries our content. If you're interested in seeing 100% of what we're doing and not just 30% of it, you should sign up for those email blasts. The second thing you can do is become a member. For as little as $5 a month, you can help us keep our lights on and pay our artists. If you're interested and in a position to do so, there are some cool incentives associated with that, so check that out. Also, if you are a business or an entity or just have something fun to say and would like to advertise with us, please feel free to reach out to us at scopymag@gmail.com. So, give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.